I have often heard that the church today is involved in a culture war, that we are involved in a cultural battle. We are in a period of time known as post-modernity. We are actively involved in a post-Christian era where Christianity used to once be well respected. It used to have a great deal of influence in our world, in our community, and that influence has been waning for many years. And so we now, what many have called the post-Christian era, and the church is involved in a cultural war. I love sitting in seminars and classrooms, listening to people talk about this cultural battle that's going on as if it's a brand new thing. I want to ask them, didn't Jesus start the original culture war? Our passage for today in John chapter 6 is about a battle. It's a battle for the hearts and the minds of those to whom Jesus is speaking. It's a battle to pull them out of a dead religious system into a life-giving relationship with Himself. It's a battle that he will stop at nothing to win, including the offering of his very own life on Calvary. Our scripture passage today is found in John chapter 6, beginning with verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, you're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but work for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given to me, but to raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And at this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the whole world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply amongst themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in me. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live, just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Jesus begins, he's met with these people, he fed them, he was on the other side of the lake and he fed the 5,000. They all got the bread, they ate their fill, and there was basketfuls left over. Everyone was satisfied. That miracle began to arouse a curiosity in them. They had their physical needs met. You see, they began to believe in Judaism in those days that the religious system was about getting their needs met. You know, the religious system of the day had become very self-oriented. Now, I don't want to say Jesus looked at them and he was condemning towards them. He was not. He was opening up his heart and his mind. He was loving them and trying to influence them to understand that true religion was not about the daily rituals. True religion was a relationship with himself. But they couldn't see it. They had had their fill. They got their needs met. And so they followed after him. In verse 26, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, you're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. You see, the reality is their experience with religion was not much different than today's contemporary experience with religion. We sell religion in order to get your needs met. You want to know you have eternal life. You want to have peace. You want to have, and without wanting to, without meaning to, we end up offering a religion that is self-centered. We offer to you a religious system that's more about getting your needs met than about the reality of a living, active relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you. Pardon this interruption. We now return to our normally scheduled programming. We offer a religious system that really is geared towards making your life better, making you happy, giving you peace, rather than an active living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Guess what? That's not new. It's been going on since day one. Jesus fed 5,000 plus all on that hillside that day with just a few loaves and fishes. While we might look and say, wow, look at the miracle he did. They went, whoo, I was hungry and now I'm filled. This guy met my needs. I want to follow him because he meets my needs. And so Jesus started this cultural battle by calling them on the carpet for the real reason they were there. They came, look, teacher, we've come looking for you. He said, you came looking for me because you wanted bread. You came looking for me because I met your needs. You came looking for me because it's about you. And he looked at them and he wasn't harsh and judgmental. I don't want to come across that way. He looked at them and said, you need really to work for food that doesn't perish. You need to look for food. And Jesus took that very, very earthly conversation, that very human-centered conversation, and he said, if you want to eat the bread that never fades, that gives you eternal life, now I need to talk about the spiritual aspects of who you are and how you were formed. And he said, I am the bread of life. I come to offer you what only God can give. They said, oh, wait, but we want to... We interrupt this message. okay. Now I have no idea where I was. Jesus offers to them the reality of a bread come from heaven, what only God can do, to give them the relationship that only God can give, to sustain them. And he said to them, I am the bread of life, and I have come to give you life. He saw, and they looked, and they wanted their needs met. And yet he turns around and he offers them what is more. And you know, they still don't get it. I don't know about you, but my wife and I often converse and we're talking and we're saying the right words and we're nodding up and down and we walk away. We have no clue what the other just said. And if you're married and haven't done that, moving on now. They still didn't get it. They didn't understand. They couldn't wrap their mind around it. And they immediately asked him, okay, tell us, what do we need to do? What works do we need to do the works of the Father? Again, let's bring it back to me. What do I need to do to earn my way to be good in your sight? And Jesus said, the works that you need to do the works of the Father are this. Believe in the one he sent. But no, you don't understand. What do we need to do? Believe in the one that he sent and actively order your life around that primary relationship. And they finally began to understand when he said to them, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what miraculous sign can you give to prove you're worth believing in? Yesterday, there were 5,000 men plus women and children sitting on that hillside, every single one of them hungry. They all went away satisfied and were filled. That wasn't enough for you? No, do another miracle so that we know who you are and we can believe in you. It just dawned on me. I just gave my wife my car keys. I need a ride home. They said to him, our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, is it not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven? But it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on give us this bread. And Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. It's very interesting the way Jesus said that. He used the Greek terms ego and me. Ego is a first person personal pronoun. It is I, literally translated I, that simple. And me is I am. So he was literally saying, it seems kind of redundant, I am. Except when you put it back into the revelation of God, that God, as he revealed himself to Moses. Moses is talking with God from a burning bush. He looks at the burning bush and goes, okay, I'm willing to go back, but who should I say sent me? And God didn't give him a big, long explanation. He didn't. He just said, tell him I am sent you. I am that I am. And you see, Jesus uses the exact same formulation. It's about Jesus revealing to them who he is. He's not just a great teacher. He's not just a miracle worker. He's not just someone who has walked with them. He is literally God himself, and he self-identifies with his Father. And he says, I am the I am. I am the bread of life. And Jesus in that revelation says, when they said, our forefathers ate manna in the desert, he goes, it wasn't Moses who did that for him. It was my Father. And I am the one who sent me. I am the one who provided. And I am the true bread of life. Now, when he said, I offer you to the true bread of life, he didn't say, I offer you to the true bread of life because the manna in the desert didn't have any good properties for food. It did. It fed and nourished them for 40 years as they wandered around the desert of sin. But what he was saying is, I offer you true bread. It is the bread given from my Father. It is ultimately my body, which will be given in sacrifice for the life of the world. I offer that to you so that you can know the reality of life. And he says, so that you might have true life, real life, eternal life. And it's interesting. He does taste zoes. It's a definite article. It's not a life that you may live. He gives you the life, the eternal life that every single one of us is looking for. That life can only be found for Christ. He says, I am the true bread, and I offer you the reality of eternal life. That's what I come to give you. And so as he comes to offer this life, they still, I like it. I feel I can relate to them. I so often miss it when I should be grasping what Jesus is trying to say to me, but too often I miss it. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the true bread, and I come to give you eternal life, the life that everybody longs for, the life that you were created for, the reality of the life that God designed for you to have. Jesus said, that's me. Seven times Jesus uses this same pattern, ego and me, in the Gospel of John. This is the first one. I am the bread of life. I am the one who gives you the reality of life. I am the one who gives you newness of life. I am the one who gives you full life. I am the one who gives you eternal life. He also goes on, each one of them represents a particular relationship of Jesus to the spiritual needs of men. He is their light in darkness, their entrance into security and fellowship, their guide and protector in life, their hope in death, their certainty in perplexity, and their source of vitality for a productive and full life. He wanted men to receive him, not simply for what he might give to them, but what he might be to them. He says, I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Again, he repeats back in verse 48, I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews began to argue sharply amongst themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. For whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood real drink. You see, Jesus claims to be the permanent satisfaction for all human desire in life. He's not only the one who feeds them. I want to remind you that Jesus said, unless you take this flesh, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, unless you eat the blood which has come from God, or eat the bread which has come from God, you do not have life. You don't possess life. I want to remind us, he's taking them back to the creation story in the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, where it says, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the earth, and he breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living being. The word that's translated living being, we've talked about it before, it's the word nephesh. The word nephesh in its basic root form is used of a passageway or a throat. It is God breathed into him and he became a breathing through something outside of him. He was now sustained. God was saying to him in his very creative moment when God breathed into him and he raised him up a living being that you are a dependent entity. You are not meant to be an autonomous individual. You are dependent upon the very God that created you. The very breath of God becomes the very gift of God that sustains you and moves you forward. Everything you eat, drink, all comes through the throat. It is what sustains you. You are sustained from outside in. We have all kinds of people telling us, you want to know your true meaning, look inside. You want to know your true purpose, look inside yourself. Jesus says, you want to know your true meaning and purpose of your life, look outside yourself to the very one who created you, because only he holds the pattern for life. We are sustained by the one who breathed into us and gave us life. And Jesus said, I'm the one who, when you take me into yourself, you return to that creative moment. When you receive me into yourself, I come in, I set up shop, I take over, I become the predominant relationship in your life. And when you do, then you receive all the benefits that I come. But it's not about getting your needs met. It's about that intimacy of relationship with me where I move in and I literally take control and I restore you to the image of God that you were created in. And it's all about that restoration. And Jesus said, I come to offer myself to you because my body will be given for the sake of the world. And they grumbled. Besides that, why can he say this? I mean, we know his mom and dad. Hey, we've seen your paternity and it's questionable, Jesus. We know she was pregnant before they got married. We know who you are. Jesus again looked at them and he offered himself to them and said, if you want to have true life, you'll only find it through me. We live in a world that we spend massive amounts of resources. Massive amounts of resources. On trying to make our lives better. We spend most of our time trying to gain possessions or power. Authority. We spend the majority of our lives looking for that thing that's going to make us remembered when we breathe our last. And our culture says, if you want a life that's full, then go out and get it. It doesn't get any better than this. You need that new house or the new car or the new spouse or the new kids, or you need this. Need that, and if you're not fulfilled where you're at, just go out and find something better. Upgrade to the latest model. Guess what? It's scary. You're right, Joe. It's scary, but the next model isn't any better than the last model. I guarantee that. It will break down just as much. And Jesus says, you want true life? I'm standing right here. It'll only be found through me. It's never going to be found through what you have or what you want or what you desire. When Jesus came to them that day, he cut right through their cultural assumptions. He said, you're chasing me because you had your needs met, but I got to share you the reality of real life, the reality of eternal life, and I'm right here. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It is the reality that Christ is waiting for us to come. And you know, it's impossible for us to read that last portion without realizing the trueness of communion that Christ wants with each one of us. His flesh was broken, his body beaten, his life offered. And before he went to Calvary, he stood with his disciples. And as he broke the bread, he said to them, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And again, he held up the cup and says, this is the blood of the new covenant shed for the remission of all of your sin. And he redefined the common everyday elements and transformed them into the powerful possibility of living relationship with Almighty God. In these closing moments of our service, we're going to receive the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ through communion, through the Eucharist. In the Church of the Nazarene, we have an open table. All those who recognize Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are invited to come. We do it as a foretaste of that grand and glorious day.